That's what you can see, that someone loves the Quran. Shuaib has done, mashallah. He's all focused on you. You're like the khatib. Okay, that's fine. Allahumma salli Muhammad. So when it comes to the Quran and the love that we need to have behind it, it is something we need to first understand what the Quran can do, what can it give to us when we love the Quran. The Quran is such an extraordinary, remarkable book that the time in which it came down, the time in which it came down, the month that it came down in became the best of months, the month of Ramadan. The night that it came down in became the best of nights, the Laylatul Qadr. The areas that it came in, they came down on became the best of areas. And the prophet that it came down on became the best prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ummah that it comes down on becomes the best ummah. Everything that the Quran touches becomes the best. It becomes extraordinary. Because it's not a normal book. It's not a normal thing that you're interacting with. When you see it on the shelf here, it is not just something that is just an ordinary kitab if you touch it or don't touch it. It is something that if you were to touch, you become the best. The Prophet ﷺ even told us that if a teacher were to teach the Quran, you can teach whatever science or discipline or anything in the world. But when you teach the Quran, you become the best of professions. This is what Nabi ﷺ taught us. The Prophet says, he went further and he explained that if you were someone who loved the Quran, you were passionate about the Quran, you are so immersed in the Quran, you become the family of Allah. The Prophet said, it's a hadith of Sahih ibn Hibban, that the Prophet said, Inna lillahi ahleen. So Allah Ta'ala has a family. They said, Qila ya Rasulullah, wa lillahi ahleen. Does Allah Ta'ala have a family? The Prophet said, Ahlul Quran wa khasatuhu. It is the people of the Quran who are the family of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And this is the idea when people really love the Quran. It is something you can't separate from me. You can't change the discussion. You can't move the discussion away from me. I love to talk about the Quran. And what does it say? The Prophet ﷺ even continued. He told us that if you become the friend of the Quran becomes your friend. The Quran becomes your friend. Al-Quran shafi'un mushaffa' wa mahilun musaddaq. The Prophet ﷺ said that the Quran is an intercessor whose intercession is accepted. That wherever you go, wherever you move in the next life, the Quran will be with you. In the grave, on Qiyamah, and inshallah, there will be something that you enjoy in Jannah. We're talking about an ibadah, an act of worship in Jannah that you enjoy. It is you enjoy the Quran within Jannah. How so? Is that when you finally see tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, khalidina fiha. In Jannah, when we're talking about in this world, Allah Ta'ala says Jannah has gardens, has rivers flowing underneath it. Jannah has rivers flowing underneath it. In Jannah, you see it. In Jannah, you see it. Allah Ta'ala talks about the rivers in Jannah. Anharu min ma'in min ghayri asin. That you see water that never goes stale. And Allah describes the different types of drinks that you get. He talks about a river of honey, a river of water, a river of milk, and a river of wine, pure wine. Allah talks about these things here. What do you think happens when you enter Jannah? That's exactly what Allah was talking about. And this is only for the PG discussion we can have because there's children here. If we were talking about Hurul Ain, you all would not come to Fajr properly because of other situations you have. So the idea is that what do you find? That there's so many things within the Quran that people will realize because the Quran remains your companion. It remains your friend. It remains connected to you. Shafi'un mushaffa' wa mahilun musaddaq, shahidun musaddaq. It is something that will give you witness wherever you go. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Quran is that waman ja'alahu amamahu waman qadahu ila al-jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever makes the Quran before him, in front of him, makes his goal to follow this book and practice this book, it will lead him in his life. Wherever he goes, he will be guided. This is what Allah Ta'ala promises the person. Inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillati hi aqwam. This Quran is a book which guides to the most straight thing that you can ever do. The most accurate thing you can ever do. Whatever you want to please Allah, if you follow the Quran, you please Allah Ta'ala. Your entire life will be straightened. Everything will be taken care of. You'll be a happy person. People are all trying to sell happiness. There are all these books you go on to the bookstore. They'll say that this life hack and this 15 things you do, you'll become happy. If you do these things, you'll become happy. You look at all the YouTube videos, 10 things you can do to become happy. 20 things you can do to be happy. Allah Ta'ala says, just do one thing for me. I'll make you happy. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'inul qulub. Only with the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find rest. You will be happy. Just remember Allah and read the Quran. The Quran says, I'm your friend. I will guide you. I'll take care of you. No matter what family problems you have, I'll take care of you. You need shifa, Quran will take care of you. You need a ruqya, Quran will take care of you. You need family problems. You have family problems, marital problems, children problems. You'll find it in the book. Tibyana li kulli shay. The book has information about everything. Everything in this book, subhanAllah. This is what Allah describes about this Quran. It is your friend. It is here to accompany you. When you go into the grave, what do you find? The punishment comes from the right, from the left, from the top, from the down. It comes from every single angle to try to attack you. Then what do you find? Suratul Mulk, they used to recite every single night. Suratul Mulk says for the punishment to go away. He used to recite me every single night, mashallah, so I'm protecting him now. When you come to the Day of Judgment, Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran, and the Day of Judgment is extremely hot. The sun is a mile away from people's heads. Blazing hot, difficult day, people are sweating. But people who recited Ali Imran and Surah Al-Baqarah, they find clouds that are shading them in the entire day, subhanAllah. They'll find that the Quran will come on the Day of Judgment and say, Ya Allah, I kept him up at night, he was reciting me. Put him into Jannah. SubhanAllah. This is the best friend you can have. What an extraordinary friend. People like to, if you could probably be friends with I don't know how much you guys like Brady anymore, but maybe he's not as much mahbub as he used to be, maybe, I don't know. But if you had him on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, he was your friend, he was your boy on Facebook, you'd be like, all right, that's pretty cool. You know, this guy has 1 million+ followers. That's really cool. Why not, you know? And then you just look at the Quran, you're like, oh, wait, hold on my shelf was actually something which was followed by billions and billions of people. The Quran is a book which is followed by billions of people. The Quran is a book that has been recited from the time of the Prophet until now. What did the Prophet tell us about this book? It is a remarkable book that has information of the beginning and the end, the first people and the last people. The Prophet said that it's the Torah, which is the book given to the people of Musa alayhi salam. The Torah is summarized within the first 7 surahs of the Quran. Then the Prophet said, when you look at the Zabur has been summarized in the next, they call the Mi'in, the surahs that have more than 100 ayats. The Zabur has been summarized in there. And then the Injil has put in the Masani, which is the next section of the Quran. The Prophet says, the greatest books in the world, Torah, Zabur, Injil, all the books are found within the Quran. And then the Prophet said that the last part, the Mufassal, from Surah Al-Hujurat till the end, Prophet said, this is my exclusive part. Allah gave it to me especially. This is what you find in this book. What a remarkable, extraordinary book that can change lives, change people, everything. You're not going to find a book that's been more read. People say the Bible is the most read book in the world. They just never seen a Muslim country. That's the only thing that's the problem. They think the Bible is the most read book in the world. I challenge you, in a single month, the Muslims will recite the Quran more than every single person in the world about whatever books they read. The month of Ramadan is such an extraordinary month that in that one month, you recite the book more than anyone else in the entire world. It is the most read book. It is the most practiced book. It is the most recited book. It's a book that we read from beginning to end. It is the most memorized book. No one memorizes a book like us. We memorize a book from cover to cover. No one memorizes anything close to it. And it's the most commentated and discussed book in the world. I'm talking about tafsir. We're talking about actual things, tafsir. What are we talking about? Nazm al-Durar, Allama Biqai Rahmatullahi. Allama Biqai Rahmatullahi is one of the greatest students of Ibn Hajar Rahimullah, who's a commentator of Bukhari. He writes 8 thick volumes on the commentary of the Quran, just based off of things that he found that these are ideas and his things that he learned from his teacher alone. 8 volumes he writes just based off on that. He said, I'm not going to use things that people said in the past. I'm going to tell you what my teacher had taught me specifically. And 8 volumes he comes out with that. If that's extraordinary, you go to Ruhul Ma'ani, Allama Alusi Rahmatullahi, he was in the 1200s. He writes 30 volumes onto the Quran. 30 volumes for every single juz. He has a volume for it, mashallah. If you think that's impressive, wow, that's really cool. We go to even more bigger commentary. What do we find? One Mufti Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he mentioned about the biggest commentary of the Quran, Hada'iqu Dhahtu Bahja. Hada'iqu Dhahtu Bahja, which means gardens full of blossoms, right? It's a blossoming garden. He said this collection of tafsir is 500 volumes, 25 only on Surah Al-Fatiha. SubhanAllah. You can all say SubhanAllah. Because this is what we feel. This is the most commentated, most discussed book. If you tried to compile all the different tafsir in the Quran, you would never be able to do so. Because in every single generation, hundreds upon thousands of scholars are writing a tafsir of the Quran. Everyone and their mother who's an alima has a tafsir of the Quran. You have no idea how big this field is. How many translations of the Quran are there? So many translations, mashallah. People devote their lives to this book. The most read book, most studied book, most commented on, most discussed book. And it's more because Allah Ta'ala said this is a book full of barakah. You can never stop the barakah. What kind of book is it? It's only 600 pages. 600 pages, about 77,000 words. That's a little bit more than the first volume of Harry Potter. I checked it up before I came. Okay, 77,000 words. And in those 77,000 words, Allah Ta'ala has written guidance for all of mankind. 600 pages. You know, the first volume of Harry Potter is not even the full story. We're still waiting for the different riwayat, right? You have to go through all the different akhbar and different stories. It's like 7 different books. It's total, you're going to find over 1 million pages. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you the most summarized book, the most enjoyable book, the most lovely book, within 600 pages, 77,000 words, all for you and I to study and read, subhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala said, this is the book for you. This is the book for you. It's anzalna ilaykum kitaba. We sent a book for you. Allah Ta'ala says, this is all for you. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. Why is this book? So Allah says, I'm Hakim. Yasin wal Qur'an. Allah says, the book, that is the wise book. I'm wise and the book is wise. Allah described himself. It's a Tanzilu min ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah says, the most gracious, most merciful. This is a kitab which is merciful to the people. Allah says, I'm Aziz. Allah says, Kitabun Aziz. This is a mighty book. Allah says, I'm Tabarak. I'm full of barakah. This book is full of barakah. Every great name Allah uses. Allah says, I'm Majid. Quranun Majid. I'm Azim. Quranun Azim. Allah says, my names are part of this name. Because why? Because when you read the Quran, I am speaking to you. And that's, if Allah is great and mighty, then his words are great and mighty. My brothers and sisters in Islam, that's what we need to understand. Ali radiallahu anhu said, if you want to talk to Allah, you stand in salah. If you want Allah to talk to you, you read Quran. If you want to know what Allah is talking to you about, what he wants you to think about, what he wants you to speak about. That's why we love this book, and that's why we are passionate about it. That's why we need to spend more time on it. That's why we need to focus on it more. Because Allah, he described it in so many words. And that's what we find from the previous ummah. This ummah of the past were extraordinary. And I'm even talking about the Muslims. If I were to tell you about how much Muslims loved it. For example, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi tried to find one mas'ala in the Quran. He said, I took the book and I opened it. Fatiha, Baqarah, Ali Imran. I went from that cover to that cover. I couldn't find the mas'ala, the ruling. So I went back again. I tried again from the beginning to end. Again and again and again. He said 36 times I went to the Quran just to find one ruling. Subhanallah. Imam Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. If I were to talk about our ulama, you have no idea how much they love this book. We'll talk about people when they were non-Muslim. Umar radiallahu anhu. He is someone before he accepts Islam. He has this feeling that Ibn Kathir rahmatullah, he narrates it. He said, Umar radiallahu anhu has this feeling that I need to go in, try to stop the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he tries to find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I'm going to go and try to interfere or try to block him from his work and his effort. So then he finds him in the area of the Kaaba. He finds it in the area of the Kaaba. The Prophet says, he's praying salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Umar radiallahu anhu says, he didn't want to be spotted. So he hid behind the ghilaf. He hid behind the curtain of the Kaaba. And he's hiding there. And the Prophet says, reciting Surah Al-Haqqah. Al-Haqqah, Mal-Haqqah, wa ma'adaraq, Mal-Haqqah. Reading the surah from beginning to end. And Umar radiallahu anhu was amazed. So he's like, wow, this is amazing, And he said, this must be the words of a poet. It must be a sha'ir. It's a sha'ir, right? And Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ sha'ir. Allah ta'ala says, it's not the words of a poet. قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. How little you believe. Now Umar radiallahu anhu was like, what is that? How did that happen? Umar radiallahu anhu is hiding. How does Allah know what he's thinking about? And then he said, this must be a person who knows the future. Must be a fortune teller. Kahin. Must be a kahin. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ kahin. Allah says, it's not the words of a fortune teller. قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Very little you think. Very little you remember. تَنْزِيلُ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It's a revelation for the Lord of the worlds. The Muslim Umar radiallahu anhu said, this was the first step that he took towards Islam. This is how he accepted Islam. This is something that even the non-Muslims at the time of the Prophet, they could not handle it. To the point that Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, and Akhnas bin Shariq, this is like the holy trinity of evil, right? These are the worst people you can imagine in the world. They all come together. This is like the axis of power at that time. Really bad. So Abu Jahl and Abu Sufyan and Akhnas bin Shariq, they all three come together. And what do they find? They all say, we hate the Quran. We hate the Prophet. We hate everyone thing about Islam. So the Prophet, mashallah, is reading the Tahajjud. And he's reading his salah, mashallah. He wrote this beautiful tone. Imagine the tilawah of the Prophet, sallallahu. Imagine the tilawah of the Prophet, sallallahu. You can't, Ajib, Allahu Akbar. So what do you find? That Abu Sufyan is hiding behind a bush. Abu Jahl is hiding from another bush. Akhnas bin Shariq is also hiding. They're all listening to the Prophet reciting Quran. And the next thing so Abu Jahl walks out, Abu Sufyan walks out, Akhnas walk out, and they all meet each other. Like, hey, what are you doing here? So I don't know, what are you doing here? He's like, I don't know, I was just in the area, just casually walking by. And it's like, oh, the Muhammad is reading. Oh, I didn't know, And then they realized that they all were reading, listening to the Quran. And they told each other, Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, and Akhnas go and say, listen, we can't do this anymore. Everyone, swear that you're not going to come back. They said, all right, we swear we're not going to come back. What do you think happened next night? Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, and all the hiding behind their bushes again, listening to the Prophet and recite. And then again, they call each other again. It's like your friend who's sneaking out every single night. He goes and says, well, look, we can't do this again. We really have to stop. He said, okay, fine. We all promise to stop. What do you think happens again? They come back again. They can't seem to stop because it's just so enjoyable to them. They can't stop because the Quran is so beautiful to them. These are non-Muslims. They're not even Muslim. They love the Quran. And so Abu Jahl, when Akhnas goes and asks, he says, Abu Sufyan, what did you get from the Quran? Abu Sufyan answers. He says, there are certain parts that I understood which are beautiful, and certain parts were a little bit cloudy and I didn't understand them. Abu Sufyan answered in a very nice way. Allah gave him hidayah. Abu Jahl, when Akhnas goes to him and says, oh, Abu Jahl, what do you feel about Muhammad and the Quran? He said, wallahi, this book is definitely the truth. But the reality is this. And he goes and says that, look, we've been competing with Banu Hashim. This is the tribe of the Prophet. We, from the Banu Umayyah, we've been competing with Banu Hashim for so long. And this man, you know, we've been competing. If they were generous, we were generous. If they hosted, we hosted. If they gave something, we gave something. And now they say they have a prophet. So we can't compete with that. So Abu Jahl said, forget it. We're not going to accept this man ever. This is the way they understood it. Walid al-Mughira, which is the greatest of poets at the time. Walid al-Mughira, he goes, they asked him, he said, Walid, you need to come up with something about the Quran. Say something about it. He said, let me think about it. He goes home. The whole thing, the whole narration is mentioned the Quran, everything he does at home. As if Allah has a CC, you know, he has a camera watching everything at home. Inna fakkara wa qaddar, fukutila kayfa qaddar, summa kutila kayfa qaddar, summa nadar. He's walking back and forth, he's pacing back and forth, he's thinking and contemplating, he's looking up, he's doing summa abasa wa basar, he's frowning. Allah captured everything about what Walid was doing at home because he could not figure out what to say about the Quran. So he comes back the next day, he goes and says, guys, I want to be honest here. This is a book which is remarkable. Musmirun a'lahu, mudqitun asfarahu. He says that the lowest parts have so much water, it's so lush on the bottom, and the highest parts have so many fruits. He said, I memorize the poems of the human beings and the jinn. I memorize the poems of everyone. Nothing resembles this Quran. It's something unique. He said, just call him a magician. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَقَالَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُسَى. The only thing this man could come up with is that he can only call it magic. So they loved the Quran to the point when the Prophet ﷺ recited Surah Najm. A remarkable surah, mashallah, when Hafiz was there, recited it, beautiful, mashallah. What does it say? At the end is a sajda ayah, right? Surah An-Najm ends with the sajda ayah. So what does the Prophet says to him? He's reading it in the company of the Muslims, the non-Muslims, and the jinns, and everyone that's there are listening to Surah An-Najm. And the Prophet is reciting from beginning to end, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ مَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْتِقَ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى. He's reading ayah after ayah, letter after letter. And now everyone's listening to the point that everyone starts to move and sway. You know how we recite, listen to the Quran? We just move and sway, listening back and forth. Everyone's listening to the Quran. And then finally, at the end of the ayah, I'm not going to read it because all you got to make sajda then. But the last ayah says, you know, make sajda to Allah and worship Him. And now the Muslims, they go to sajda. The jinns go to sajda. The non-Muslims go to sajda to the point that the narrators mentioned, even the ink pots, they go to sajda too. They all fell down. Everyone went to sajda. They couldn't control themselves. The mushrikeen, they got up and said, what did we just do? Why did we just do it? They can't control themselves. This book is so amazing. Ibn Muqaffa, the Quran offered a challenge. It challenged everyone in the world. Produce a book like this, amazing book, an extraordinary book like the Quran. Produce something. Allah says, I give you a challenge, but to be surah. Give me Kawthar. I just want Inna Atainaka al-Kawthar. 10 words. Give me something like the Quran. Something. Ibn Muqaffa, he was an Iranian poet and a very great linguist at the time. He said, Ibn Muqaffa, write something against the Quran. He said, yeah, okay, fine, I'll do it. Give me 1 year's time, I'll take care of it. I'm going to challenge the Quran, I'll finish it. So then they come in and check in after 6 months. You know, the guy's been working from home and you don't know what he's been doing at home. He might be working 2 jobs or 3 jobs, you know, mashallah. His W-2 is going to be enormous, right? Because he doesn't, you know, so in any case, it's full-time or whatever. So they come inside, they say, in the Muqaffa, how's everything going? Did you see all these scrambled papers on the ground? He's like frustrated, he's upset. He's like, nothing is coming to mind about how to challenge this book. So 6 months go by, they're getting kind of worried, you know? They put a whole year stipend on this man, you know? You paid him the salary, what are you going to do? So Ibn Muqaffa, finally at the end of the year, he comes out, he says, I have it. I have it. And he's so happy and so joyous. He's walking out of the room and he's like, I have the challenge against the Quran. And then what do you know? It's only from Allah Ta'ala. One little child is walking by and they're reciting Surah Hud. One ayah from Surah Hud. وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ ابْلَعِي مَاءَكِ وَيَا السَّمَاءُ أَقْلِعِ وَغِيضَ الْمَاءُ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِ وَقِيلَ بُعْدًا لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. The entire Quran is baligh. The entire Quran is eloquent. From beginning to end, it's an amazing, eloquent book. Okay? Every ayah has so much eloquence behind it. But this one ayah in specific, Surah Hud, is 19 words. 19 words. In terms of the rhetorical elements that you're using, there are 21 of them in 19 words. Okay? If I were to, for example, if I were to make like a rap or a poem right now in front of you guys, if I tried to, I probably would be able to come up with maybe one or two elements, right? I could use like metaphor or figurative language. In 19 words, Allah Ta'ala uses 21 of them. That one ayah was read in front of him about Nuh alayhi salam's ship docking. And then Ibn Muqaffa compiles his page. He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He just bears witness to Islam because he can't. There's no way you can challenge this book. This book is remarkable like that. What does the Quran tell you? It tells you, what did Maurice Boukail, he also accepted Islam. He was someone that he wrote the Bible, Quran, and science. Amazing person. He said that I was someone who worked on the body of the Pharaoh. I worked on the body of the Pharaoh and I figured out and discovered. He said, well, he was part of that research team that discovered the body. He said, it looked like it was something which has a lot of salt in it. It looked like it actually died in the ocean. It's not something normal. And the body is completely preserved, right? The body of the Pharaoh. And he's like, this is remarkable. He felt like he came up with something extraordinary. That look, I realized that this Pharaoh had drowned. No one's ever discovered this before. He had a Muslim colleague. He said, actually, Muslims have known this for 1400 years. That Allah Ta'ala tells us that the Fir'aun has been drowned and we shall preserve your body. He accepts Islam too, mashallah. What do you find? One of the greatest biologists in the world, he looks at the embryonic phases in the Quran. The way Allah describes stage after stage, the embryonic stages in the Quran. He said this is a proof that Muhammad must have been a prophet from God, because how could he have known these things? There's so much behind this book. I don't have enough time to describe to you how much we love this book. We love to talk about this book. There's so much in this book. But what do we find? This is the afsos part. The afsos part is this. The sad part is this. The Prophet ﷺ was saying on the Day of Judgment, Ya Allah, these people have taken the Quran as something abandoned. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you put it before you, it'll take you to Jannah. وَمَنْ جَعَدَ خَلْفَهُ وَمَنْ جَعَدَهُ خَلْفَهُ قَادَهُ إِلَى النَّارِ. Whoever puts it behind him, the Quran will take him to the fire. And this is what we find, that everyone just put the Quran away on the shelf. It never comes off except for what? Three things. Either someone died, or Quran Khani at home, right? It's someone died, or some house new thing, or maybe, mashallah, if we're really good, Ramadan came, mashallah, then we're okay with it. This is the only reason why we ever take out the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I mind you, is this the right way we're supposed to be with it? The Prophet ﷺ told us, he told us so many things about the remarkable nature of this Quran. When you have to understand, and I have to understand, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah Ta'ala says, مَنْ شَغَلَهُ الْقُرْآنُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ وَسْأَلَتِي أَعْطَيْتُ أَفْطَلَ مَا أُعْتِ السَّائِنِينَ. The Prophet ﷺ says, Allah Ta'ala says, whoever remains busy with the Quran, he can't make dhikr of me, and he can't even ask me in dua. Allah says, I give him more than those people who ask of me in dua. Allah says, by you engaging with the book, Allah gives you more than anything, more than everyone else. They say that you should just count the letters on a page, just for yourself. Count the letters on a page of the Quran, and then you count all the way to the bottom, and then multiply how many you recite, read in a juz. And then multiply by 10. That's how much reward you got for reading that. This is even without understanding it. Well, the sad part is, and the reality is, that we've always been spending our time on just reading the book. We never understood what it meant. It's been 30, 40, 50 something plus years, and we still don't know what it meant. One person asked me, and they said that, I really want to know what the Quran means. I said, it's great. You should understand it from the original language, though. I don't, it's better to understand directly from the Arabic. He said, well, how long would that take? I said, 6 months. Give me 6 months. I'll teach you in 6 months. We have our Alim course students, mashallah. Within 6 months, they're already translating the Quran. Mashallah, our part-time Alim course students can testify to that. They're here. Mashallah, these part-time adults, mashallah, it's been about 2 years. And now, alhamdulillah, we've been reading every single day, 3 days a week, just 1 hour, 45 minutes or so. 45 minutes to an hour. And subhanallah, within that time, mashallah, we've read hundreds of pages of Arabic. Mashallah, within that time, we finished the first juz, we finished the third juz, working on the second juz now, mashallah. I have hopes, inshallah, within a year and a half, we'll finish the entire Quran. It's not very hard. To learn Arabic is very easy. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. Don't trust me, trust Allah. Allah said, we made the Quran easy to remember. Everyone could learn it. You should learn it and you should study it. What do? Instead of trying to go and study and learn it ourselves, we say, you know what? No, I'm just going to open my laptop. I'm going to listen to every single person on YouTube to explain the Quran to me. Subhanallah, the people that we listen to, right? Those people that we choose, you can ask them to read Surah Al-Fatiha to you. Read Surah Al-Fatiha to you. You won't even trust their Fatiha. You won't even trust to pray behind them. How do you expect this person to explain the Quran to you? How do we expect this person to explain the Quran to us? This is the sad reality of what we have in front of us, that we decide to go take the easy route and say, you know what, this person in front of me, this person can recite, this person can explain the Quran to me. You would even trust this person with your prayers. You're expecting him to explain the book of Allah Ta'ala to you. Allah Ta'ala says, Yahdi bihi kathira wa yudillu bihi kathira. Allah Ta'ala guides many with the book, the Quran. And there's a chance you will get misguided. That's why we read A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim before every single recitation. Because you never know if that's that one time you read the Quran and you find you don't understand anything anymore. وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah says the only ones who get misguided are the ones who commit sins. The ones who openly commit sins. الَّذِينَ يَنْقُرُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْثِ مِيثَاقِ. Those that break the covenant of Allah after they promise Allah Ta'ala to do things. وَيَقَطَعُونَ مَا أَمَنَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ أَيُوصَرَ. Allah Ta'ala explains another thing. He says that if people, they cut ties with family, Allah says they won't understand Quran anymore. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Why don't they understand the Quran? Why don't they ponder about the Quran? Why don't they think about the Quran? Or is it that they have locks on their hearts? One of the ways you can lock your heart is, number one, you listen to people who have no qualification to teach it. They have no qualification to speak about it. It's ajeeb in our minds that we see. And I'm telling you, we're technically trained. We're technically trained to read the Quran. We've been studying it for 6-something years with our teachers and even more afterwards. And we're still reading the book and we're still learning. Our minds are trained to read the book, right? We study it, we learn. Right, we can read the words. If we see something about the Quran, we can interpret it in the right way. But people's minds aren't trained like that. An engineer is trained to see engineering. A doctor is trained to do doctoring things, right? An alim is trained to study the book of Allah. Yet we expect this person who's never had any experience with the book of Allah to interpret it for us. This is the sad reality. We should go to those who learn from those, who learn from those, who learn from Sahaba, who learn from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I mind you, don't think it's easy just because I know Arabic. Everyone says I know Arabic. Aisha radiallahu anha comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayat Surah Al-Mu'minun. Those that give whatever they give, and their hearts are fearful that they have to return to the Lord. Their hearts are fearful that they have to return to the Lord. Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, is this referring to sinners? That they do whatever they do, and their hearts are fearful that they have to return to Allah? Is it referring to sinners? Prophet says, no, Aisha, it's not talking about sinners. Aisha, highest level. She understood the Quran to mean something. Prophet says, that's not what it means. Hadith of Tirmidhi. The Prophet says, no, it's talking about people who do good deeds. Those who do good deeds, and they're fearful that maybe Allah doesn't accept it. He said, that's the proper interpretation. When they read the ayah, those that they believe and they have no zulm in their iman, they have no oppression in their iman, no wrongdoing in their iman. The Sahaba were completely terrified. Say, Ya Rasulullah, which one of us has not committed sins? Who has not done zulm? Everyone's done zulm. We're probably going to go home and do zulm when we go back home. Right? The Sahaba were so terrified. Ya Rasulullah, is it me? And the Prophet said, no, zulm is not what you mean. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. It's talking about shirk. This is the idea that I'm trying to explain to everyone, that it's just not a requirement just to know Arabic. You have to immerse yourself in hadith, immerse yourself in fiqh. And every single day, the commentaries of hadith. This morning, mashallah, with one of our students, so we're reading Sunan Ibn Majah, reading 100 hadith per day. Mashallah, sending sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. And this is just one book of many books that we study. One book of many books that we study. So many books you have to recite, read and read and read and study until you can say, I can understand the Quran properly. Yet everyone wants to open it and understand it on their own. You need a teacher. Everything in life requires a teacher. And we also need that teacher, inshallah ta'ala. So we need to, number one, it's not just about reading it. You know, it's enough is enough. We've been living our life just reading it and not understanding any single word of it. If we were to ask any of the hufaz, like, what does this word mean? They're stuck. And so this is the thing that we need to spend a little bit of time. And I tell you, if you really want to, I'm committed to it. I'll give you 6 months. And I mean it. Within 6 months, you'll be able to understand and translate Quran. Obviously, you need to sit down with me afterwards. We got to take 2 years to go to Quran and recover. Because I don't want you going to AI that says, okay, kill the mushrikeen wherever you find them. All right, okay. Then you're like, okay, maybe this people are right. You know, that's the thing I want you to worry about. You know, many times the only reason why we open the Quran these days is to object to it. Why does it say this about hijab? Why does it say this about women? Why does it say this? Yeah, la ilaha illallah. You know, where's the hidayah? Where's the guidance? So we need to, inshallah, number one is read the Quran regularly. Number two is we need to read the translations. Understand what we're reading. You will cry. When Yusuf alayhi salam's story comes, every single time I cry. It's such an amazing part. When Yusuf alayhi salam reaches the end, and finally his parents come, and they all, you know, make sujood in front of Yusuf alayhi salam, you're like, Ya Allah, this is exactly what we're going through in life. The stress we go through, difficulties we go through. You'll love the story of Musa alayhi salam. You'll love the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You love so many stories. We got to open the translation and understand it. Third thing we need to do is understand tafsir of the Quran. And the fourth thing is that if you want to make sure you can understand Quran properly, you want to become a lover of the Quran, true lover of the Quran, you need to practice the book. You have to tell yourself, I close my eyes, Ya Allah. Whatever the book says, I do. I follow, I practice, I preach, I do everything the book says. That's when you will see that Allah will open your heart. Isa alayhi salam said, Man amina bima alima wa rasulullah ilma ma lam ya'lam. Whoever practices on what he knows, Allah will give him knowledge from things that he could never even imagine. Isa alayhi salam says this, you understand things on so many deeper levels. So that's what we need to understand. The first thing I want everyone to remember, inshallah ta'ala, is we're resuming halaqas. This is that number one, that when you go and eat, inshallah, take care of your own plate. At-tahuru shatrul iman. Cleanliness is half of iman. So inshallah, we should clean up after ourselves. If we're saying we're true Muslims, then everything needs to be clean. We're still worried about this carpet situation. Make dua for us, inshallah. We're going to call 911 and inshallah, we'll take care of it. There are so many things. We have to make sure we're clean on every single level. We want our kids to learn to be clean too. But if we don't show them by practice, they're never going to learn. Same thing about also keeping our voices low in the masjid. Many times when we start the halaqas and after halaqa, everyone's voices get very loud. In the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi buyutin adina Allah an turfa wa yuzkara fiha ismuhu. Allah says you can talk about his name here, not the Super Bowl. What are you doing talking about the Super Bowl? The pastor's not even in it, I think. I don't know. I don't watch it. Okay, so the thing is that what? We only can talk about the zikr of Allah ta'ala here. So we have to make sure our voices are low. We often complain about children keeping their voices loud in the masjid. But if we didn't show them by practice, what do we expect? So we have to show them from every single angle, inshallah ta'ala. We need to practice on this Quran and feel the passion and love. That I can't spend any time away from it. What did we talk about in the beginning? Love means that I think about it. When I'm on vacation, I think about it. When I'm away from it, I think about it. It's always in the back of my mind. That when can I go back to it? It is my hobby. It is my practice. It is my experience. It is my love. That's what the Quran is. I love this book. And I want to make sure I read it every single time. And what do we people say normally? I say to what? I'm going to tell you guys at the end, inshallah, read it every single day. Read it every single day. People normally say what? I don't have time. It's always the same thing. I don't have time. I don't have time. Obviously, you don't have time. Obviously, you don't have time. If something's not important to you, you'll never have time for it. If something's not important to you, you'll never have time for it. If it's important to you, there's always time for it. If it's something you want, you always make time for it. There's no such thing of, what are you talking about? Don't have time. You don't, no one has time. You make time for things. And if you actually thought it was, if I thought it was important, I would put in my day that I have to make sure I read something from it. Because I need this, right? And so now, if I were to tell you something you want, you make time for it. If it's something you need, there's no question about time. If I need it, if everyone says, oh, I didn't make time to eat lunch today. No, I need lunch. If I won't survive without it, I make sure I eat, right? I have to make sure I eat. I have to make sure I sleep. These things are fundamental to my day. My day doesn't operate without it. Similarly, I need Quran. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna hadil qulub tasda' kama yasda' al-hadid." The Prophet ﷺ said, these hearts become rusted like how iron becomes rusted. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, the Sahaba has such important questions. Ya Rasulullah, ma jila'uha. If I translate it in like nice modern days, like what's the WD-40 for this? You know, like how do I clean off the rust, Ya Rasulullah? How do I purify it? How do I polish the heart? The Prophet ﷺ said, tilawatul Quran, just read the Quran. Your hearts will become pure again. We ask Allah that He allows us to become such people, inshallah. Feel the passion, feel the love, feel the honor. The Quran tells you, لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. The book has your mention in it. You will be honored, inshallah ta'ala. No matter where you go, if you are someone who read the Quran, you'll see that, inshallah, the Quran will stay connected to you. You'll see the Quran take you to Jannah. May Allah allow us to become like that, inshallah ta'ala. Allow us to recite it daily, inshallah ta'ala. I hope that everyone, inshallah ta'ala, recites Surah Al-Mulk tonight. Do not forget it, inshallah. We need it for our graves. We need Surah Al-Yasin every morning. Everyone loves money. Surah Al-Waqiyah is there for everyone to read, inshallah ta'ala. And you can memorize it. Well, you read it 15, 20, 30, within a month's time, you read it every single day. What's going to happen? You memorize it, mashallah. For every single letter, every single word you recite, I'm sorry, every single ayah you recite, you increase one status in Jannah, right? So if you memorize Surah Al-Mulk and Surah Al-Waqiyah and Surah Al-Yasin because you read it every single day, what's going to happen? You'll go all the statuses in Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. If you want to send your kids, inshallah, we have alhamdulillah, our HIFS program. And I strongly encourage, inshallah, for all of our parents here, that inshallah, you want your child to memorize, mashallah, please send them for HIFS class. You know, this is the opportunity, this is the time. And every kid here who's in HIFS, take it seriously. Take this time as seriously as you can. You can ask any of these adults. They all regret it. Everyone says, Ya Allah, if I only had the time to go back and do it one more time. If I only had the youth again. One brother, he said, I have, mashallah, 17 juz now. He's 32. He said, may God, it's really hard to keep it and retain it. I tell these kids to remember that the 17 juz, they could probably recite it in front of you because of how quickly it comes in their brain. Right, so mashallah, if your child is ready for it, send them to HIFS class, mashallah ta'ala, they're ready for that. For the adults, mashallah, we've been having a Quran class, every Saturday and Sunday. It's only now on Sundays from 12 to 1. If you'd like to work on your tajweed, you want to read your Quran, you want to recite properly, please come, inshallah ta'ala. This is all for you. I'm doing these things and we're doing these things because why? Because we want to make sure the community feels happy to read the book. You should feel excited about it. You should be energetic about it. Maybe you want to memorize the Quran too. Then give that 1 hour. It's just 1 hour, mashallah. You come in every single week, you read whatever you have to do new, mashallah, you elevate and you advance, inshallah ta'ala. That's there for you. And I want everyone, inshallah, to make khas dua for our new program, mashallah, the Noor Foundation, ICB Noor Foundation, mashallah, which alhamdulillah is a full-time Darulum. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, it's going to be, inshallah ta'ala, from starting from July 1st. And mashallah, as you all know, we've already had Alim for students, mashallah. And alhamdulillah, if you are considering for your own child, mashallah, to send them to this program, I highly recommend it, mashallah ta'ala, because kids memorize better, fresher in the morning than they do in the evenings, right? The kids that come in the afternoons, they went through school, so they're tired. It's a bit exhausting. Whereas the freshest you have in your mind is in the morning. If kids were to come in the morning, mashallah, maybe they could retain the Quran better, right? So this is one of the programs that we have, one of the HIFS programs, mashallah, for both boys and girls, mashallah, that's available for everyone. Right, from 8:30 to 1:30, mashallah ta'ala. If you have an idea, you want to do it, you don't know about homeschooling, all these things, mashallah, we can discuss, we can figure it out, and we can make sure you can get an effective system. For those kids that, mashallah, want to become alim and high school students, and this is what happens. We come back from, you know, back home and everything, and we go and say, I didn't come to America to make my kid a Maulana. Like, what am I doing? Why is his first kid become Maulana? Mashallah, he's become the khayrukum an ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allama. The best of you is the ones who learn the Quran and teach it. You cannot ask for anything better. These kids that understand English and they can understand Quran will give da'wah in this language. They'll guide kids. These kids here are so much more precious than you find kids back home. At least back home, mashallah, they have people to go and find these kids. If you don't find these kids here, no one's going to find them. No one's going to search for them. So mashallah, these programs are here. Alim course starts from 13 and up. I encourage, inshallah ta'ala, for you all, if you have your own children to do so, then please send them, inshallah ta'ala. And if you don't feel like, if any of these programs I can't do, really I can't do, I want to do it, Maulana, but I can't really do it, then support the programs. You know, Ibn Umar, Umar bin Abdulaziz rahmatullahi said that either become a teacher, a student, a lover of knowledge, or someone who supports knowledge. And if you feel like these are things that this alim, this Mawlana before me, is doing the right things, then support him. Do what you need to do. Make dua for him, number one. Everyone make dua for these programs to become successful. Allah to make it only for his sake. Allah to allow these things to become things that will be sadaqah jariyah for this entire community. Allah save all of our children, generation after generation after generation. I mean, may Allah to make Burlington a beacon for all of America to see this is how you, mashallah, start madaris and how you start programs, mashallah ta'ala. So first of all, make dua. Second thing, mashallah, these programs run with what? Maybe inshallah I can provide some funding for it, some support through it, some type of sadaqah for myself and for my family and for my kids. I do this type of thing, inshallah. If you can, inshallah, then speak to us. That way we can fund these projects as well. There's so many ways you can help. I want to help someone who's an inheritor of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That means you love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah make us like that, inshallah ta'ala. Akhiru da'wan and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين يا أرحم الراحمين اجعل القرآن رضيع قلوبنا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اجعل القرآن رضيع قلوبنا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اجعل القرآن رضيع قلوبنا يا رب العالمين واجعلنا من الذين يقرؤون القرآن آناء الليل آناء النهار يا رب العالمين دائما قائما قاعدا يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا القوة المتين يا أرحم الساكين يا الله يا الله we have abandoned this Quran يا الله يا الله please forgive us for leaving the Quran يا الله يا الله we allowed it to get dust يا الله يا الله we don't recite the book like we should يا الله we don't love the Quran like we should يا الله it was passion over everyone else's passion يا الله يا الله when the people of dunya love their dunya يا الله let us love the Quran want the Quran to be our friend, Ya Allah. Let the Quran accept us, Ya Arham Ar-Rahimeen. Ya Allah, Arham Ar-Rahimeen, we ask you to accept us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Allah, allow us to become people who recite the Quran day in and day out, night and day, Ya Allah. Allow us to engage and connect with the Quran, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you honored so many people in the past, Ya Allah, because they recited the Quran, Ya Allah. They remain remembered with this book, Ya Allah. Remember us too, Ya Arham Ar-Rahimeen. Ya Allah, the honor of the Muslims is within the book, Ya Allah. We abandoned this book, that's why we lost our honor, Ya Allah. Ya Arham Ar-Rahimeen, give us our izzah back, Ya Allah. Give us honor back, Ya Allah. Strengthen us through the Quran, Ya Allah. Give us the Book of Allah we recite night and day, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Surah Al-Mulk every night, Ya Allah. Surah Yasin every day, Ya Allah. Please, Ya Rahman Rahimeen, strengthen us through the Quran, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to the Quran, Ya Allah. Allow us to read the Quran and understand its meanings, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahimeen, Ya Allah. We barely delved into the Quran, Ya Allah. It's an ocean, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Allow us to swim and swim and swim, Ya Allah. Never find the end, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. We love this book so much, Ya Allah. Please, Ya Allah, resurrect us in the day of judgment, Ya Allah. Following the Quran to Jannah, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Irham al-Rahmeen, make us from those who enter Jannah, to those of Habib Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Allah, all these projects from this masjid, ya Allah, all these volunteers, ya Allah, all these community members, ya Allah, all this community, ya Allah, except every single one of them, ya Allah. Amen. They put in so much effort and so much khidmah, ya Irham al-Rahmeen. Please, ya Rabbul Alameen, from behalf of us, ya Allah, please accept from us, ya Rabbul Alameen. It's a small token, ya Allah, it's a small gift to you, ya Allah. Please, ya Irham al-Rahmeen, ya Allah. Ya Allah, if a father were to receive a gift from his child, ya Allah, the father would accept it happily, ya Allah. Please, ya Irham, you're more kind than our fathers, ya Allah. You're more kind than our mothers, ya Allah. Accept these small gifts from us, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Give us the nur in salah and nur in Quran, Ya Allah. Strengthen our hearts, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna ya Mawlana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ya Allah, please accept these huffaz, Ya Allah. Make them the proper hafiz of the Quran, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, strengthen all of our children, Ya Allah. Make them to ulama and huffaz, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Wa taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna ya Mawlana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin. Alhamdulillah.
So, he was given inshallah the ones that